Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 72, No Such Thing as a Silver Bullet. All right, here we go.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, a free market squad in the place to be? Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. My name is Nathan Fraser. I am your host with the Hero Complex, the high priest of propaganda, right here on the Nathan Fraser Show. And you, more importantly, you are the free market squad. So thank you again, free market squad, for chilling with me for this half hour, letting me get all up in those ear holes. I do appreciate it. And this week, we're going to be talking about people's just crazy desires for one-size-fits-all solutions, silver bullets for their problems, and why they just don't exist. And before we get into that, though, I do want to give a huge thank you to Chris and Sheree Geo over at Truth Frequency Radio Network for helping me propagate my propaganda. Also to UCY.TV and LRN.FM and everybody else out there that helps promote this show. Thank you for helping me spread the message. I do appreciate that. So we're going to just start off this week by maybe doing a little bit of a throwback. We're going to start this week off with a Focus on Freedom segment.
I went from rapping about chemtrails and get more bait to rapping about how business owners can get more pay. Before these status fools, we need tools to defeat them.
Live Free FM,
Focus on Freedom.
All right, so I am, I really hate to label myself politically, but most people would probably consider me to be a libertarian slash anarchist slash traditional liberal, classical liberal. I don't know. I don't like the labels, though. Some people would say I'm an anarcho-capitalist. Whatever the case may be, I am very much an individualist. I believe that each case is specific, and blanket statements, groupthink approaches to solving problems are usually more disastrous than helpful. And so that being the case, before I get into this week's main focus, which is why this type of mentality can just be horrible to apply to business and your chances of success, I'm going to talk about, on a societal level, why I don't believe in magic bullets and one-size-fits-all solutions. And what I mean by that specifically is you see a lot of, I guess, There's different laws at different levels. So there's like city level laws, and then there's state level laws, county level laws, national level laws, and now international level laws with the global government that seems to be propping itself up through all these different agencies. And it's just it's a horrible idea, because what's good for the goose isn't always good for the gander. What makes sense in a small town community doesn't always make sense in a big city. Let's just look at like gun control, and I'm definitely anti-gun control. I don't think that gun legislation makes people safer in the least bit, but I'm talking about self-control when it comes to guns. If you live out in the boondocks or in the prairies and you don't have neighbors for miles and miles around, taking your gun outside and just shooting up into the air randomly has probably no harmful consequences whatsoever. If you live in a crowded inner city, the exact same action, just walking out into your backyard, pointing your gun up in the air and firing off a bunch of rounds, could potentially come down and kill somebody. So, or do a lot of property damage to other people's property. What works and what's totally fine and acceptable out in the middle of the country doesn't work and is not totally fine and acceptable in the middle of the city. Things like the, what is it called? Daylight savings time. That's a perfect example. Daylight savings time makes perfect sense if you work out on a farm. And when the winter comes and you need to adjust your schedule, it makes perfect sense to have your clock set an hour one way during part of the year and an hour one way during the other part of the year. But for people that live in the city, people that do that commute to work rather than going out and working on the farm, it makes absolutely no sense at all. So to have a rule or a law that says everybody in this giant area has to follow the rule that makes sense for a tiny fraction of people, but makes no sense for the overwhelming majority of people, it's just stupid. And unfortunately, as human beings, we tend to be attracted to this type of problem solving where we say, well, it worked in this one particular instance, so we're just going to make it blanketly apply to everybody. This is why most economic policies, the book Economics in One Lesson really gets into this by Henry Hazlitt. He talks about the unseen or the forgotten man, where when somebody makes an economic policy proposal, they say, well, if we do this, it's really going to help out this particular set of people. If we just tax everybody and take some of that tax money and allocate it over here, it's really going to help out kids in the inner city, or it's really going to help out these struggling industries. And let's just not really worry about the unforeseen consequences that are going to happen to everybody else. Let's just focus on this one group of people, make a law that applies to everybody to benefit this one group of people. And for some reason, that way of thinking just really seems to appeal to a lot of people, especially if they're the one group of people that law is going to actually benefit. But at what cost? And so I think just in general, what works for my neighbor might not work for me. My neighbors like to drink wine and smoke cigarettes. I don't like to do either. Should what works for them be automatically applied to me? Should it even be assumed that it will work for me? I have neighbors across the street that are an older couple, and they like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I like to stay up late working, and I don't like to wake up until 10 o'clock in the morning. Should what works for them be blanketly applied to everybody in the neighborhood, or should it be specific to their household? And that's what it really comes down to. This idea that if it works for one person, it's going to work for everybody. If it has good results in one case, then it should be blanketly applied to all cases. This idea of blanket, one-size-fits-all solutions, magic silver bullets that if it works in one instance, it'll work in all instances, has horrifying, when we look at how people have used the law in different areas where they say, well, we're going to make a law to do this, and then it has all these unforeseen consequences. And then they say, well, let's fix it by passing this other law. It's just like, take this pill to get rid of your mild rash. Oh, it gave you liver disease. Well, take this pill to deal with your liver disease. Oh, that gave you intestinal problems. We'll take this pill to deal with the, oh, now you're starting to feel like you can't sleep at night. We'll take this pill to get some sleep. Oh, now you're waking up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking, getting in your car and driving it into a tree. This idea of passing a law to control the actions of everybody just to benefit, or because it makes sense in one particular instance, then it has disastrous consequences. So we have to pass another law. Then we have to pass another law. And pretty soon we've got a clip full of silver bullets that aren't doing any good whatsoever. And that is a large percentage or a large part of the reason why I'm just not a big fan of government solutions to problems. I'm not a big fan of one-size-fits-all solutions to problems. And I'm not a big fan of the mentality of silver bullets as a way to solve a problem. All right, let's go ahead and make the transition into how this applies to business and success and entrepreneurship. entrepreneurialism. There we go.
For my free market squad members out on the grind, you gotta be your own boss, can't just fall into line. You gotta have a free mind and hope for the future. You gotta be the free market anarchopreneur.
Alright, we are back. So, in the first segment of the show, I was talking about why this mentality of one-size-fits-all, blanket solutions, silver bullets being used to solve problems on a societal level, usually, I can't even think of a single instance where it doesn't have disastrous results, or at least make the situation for more people, or make the situation worse for more people than it actually ends up helping. So I'm going to kind of pivot just a little bit, and we're going to take the exact same mentality and apply it to business, and why this idea of one-size-fits-all magic silver bullet solutions in business, which is so appealing to so many business owners out there, why not being able or not understanding the negative consequences of that thought, how that can negatively impact your business. So I'm just going to lay out some of my beefs with some of the gurus out there in the entrepreneurial and the business world, and kind of just, I'm just going to kind of throw some shade at some people, and I'll try to avoid using any names in particular, but I'm just going to lay out how I feel. So people always chase these get rich quick programs, and I see it all the time. Join my multi-level marketing platform and you'll be rich in 6 months, or buy this new plugin for your WordPress website, and it's the solution that's going to make you rich. It's going to solve all your problems, and you're going to be laying out at the beach with your Lamborghini in the background and five hot women sitting next to you drinking your margaritas or whatever it is that you drink, and it's just one click away. All you need to do is buy now. And I laugh, but it's really sad. It makes me cry. people are obsessed with this, though. This promise of a simple solution, a 3-step process that'll solve all their problems. A get rich quick scheme, a get out of jail free card, whatever the case may be. Skinny pills. You don't need to work out. You don't need to watch what you eat. All you need to do is pop one of these pills in the morning and you'll be fine and dandy all day, and you'll just watch those pounds shed off from your waistline. I can't say maybe all people, but definitely in the culture I live in the microwave popcorn culture of America, it's a very appealing thing. And I know this because as a marketer, that's one of the things that always makes sense, is let them know how easy it's going to be in your sales copy. You got to explain it's going to be simple, because in rare exceptions, like, what is it? The PX 180 or whatever, that extreme workout, that extreme workout system, they're very much part of their business model is you're gonna have to bust your ass to make this work. But almost every one of their competitors is like, oh, the simple trick to losing all the weight you want before summertime and get that bikini body, and all you have to do is a 15-minute workout once a week. And it's appealing to people. I get it. You want to make in your advertising, you want to make people realize or see how easy something's going to be, because that's what people are attracted to. They already have enough to deal with. They're already they've got so many things that they're already worried about. They don't want another chore added to their list of things to take care of. And that's why blanket one size fits all silver bullet cures for things are so appealing. That's why, oh, we'll just let the government take care of it, is so appealing. Oh, we'll just let the schools educate our children. We'll just let people in high towers or high ivory towers make the hard decisions. It's appealing. I get it. It's something that people are attracted to. But as a business owner, you need to be smarter than the average bear. You need to not fall for the same bull crap mindset that is taking down all of the people around you. Yet, in the business-to-business marketing sector out there, the same thing seems to be working. The same, buy this course and it'll solve all your problems. Buy this new widget, buy this new plugin for your WordPress website and it'll solve all your problems. Buy this new funnel software and it'll solve all your problems. In copywriting too, buy my templated system and you'll write emails that are guaranteed to convert. And it's just like, okay, if you're not going to tell me which market specific these are for, if you're not going to tell me which demographic or psychographics these emails will work on, how am I going to, but most people don't even think that far ahead. All they think of is, oh, it'll take some work off of my plate and it'll get me results, real quick and easy. And so that's all that really matters to me. I'm clicking that buy now button. And oh gosh, it drives me insane. So the reason why is, and I guess I should add a point of clarification to this. Not all of the gurus out there are bad, but a lot of them are. And having been in the industry, again, I don't like to put people out there. I don't want to put anybody in the spotlight, but I know that there is a few copywriters out there that aren't actually copywriters, people that have written or have wide, have these big groups on like Facebook or have lots of informational products on how to write sales copy. And they've never actually written sales copy. They just buy a bunch of books. They regurgitate the information and they repackage it as their own. And they sell it to newbie copywriters who are too dumb to know the difference. There's also people who write business books. Books on how to run an efficient business, and they've never actually owned a business of their own. They're journalists. They do really good research. They do really good. They do deep dives into understanding what works and what doesn't. But they have absolutely zero experience in the business world, and they are New York Times bestsellers, business books authors. I don't know if that sentence came out right, but you get the point. A lot of these gurus, people that preach about how to make money while you sleep, how to live the seven-figure lifestyle, a lot of these people aren't even living the seven-figure lifestyle themselves. They're renting cars. They're renting a big house with a garage and a bookshelf with a lot of books. And they pull out their cell phone camera in their rented house with their rented cars, and they talk about how the knowledge that they gained from the books gave them the ability to buy the things that they're actually renting, and people fall for it. And it drives me insane, and it really bothers me that people fall for this. Even supposedly smart business owners out there fall for this same garbage. And so a lot of the gurus, not all, hashtag not all gurus. I would say that there are quite a few people that I've met since I started my business and since I started getting into marketing that are legit and that I would absolutely recommend following. But an overwhelming majority of them, not the case. But here's the deal. When I get sometimes preachy on my show, I talk about don't do this and do this. And sometimes I go back and I listen to them and I'm like, dude, who the hell are you to tell people what to do and what not to do? Probably even in this episode, I'm guilty of doing that. That's an unfortunate aspect of my personality and probably everybody. But the thing is when I say this is how you got to do it, what I'm saying is this is what worked for me. This is what's working for me right now. Maybe I record this episode and something's working for me right now. And a year from now, the market changes. And a year from now, a law changes. Or a year from now, the technology changes. And all of a sudden, what I said, this is how you got to do it. This is what's working for me. A year from now, it won't work anymore. And somebody listens to the podcast a year from now. And they're like, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then they do it. And they're like, oh, well, that didn't work at all. Well, That's because there is no such thing as a silver bullet. There is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all solution. I get a lot of people requesting that I make a course on copywriting or I make a course on marketing. Recently, I've been trying to figure out how to better leverage my time in the online community, the Free Market Squad Facebook group. And one of the recommendations that has come from a lot of people is, well, why don't you just make a course? You teach all this stuff for free. You give away all this stuff for free. Why not just package it into a course and sell the course? And I'm very hesitant to do that. I'm not a big fan of courses. I guess I should clarify that. I am a big fan of courses. I like the idea of having alternate education models besides just the government-controlled, academia-controlled school system out there. But I'm not a big fan of this idea. So many people sell their course as a magic bullet, a 1-2-3-step process that'll turn your business into a profit-generating machine. And my experience has been that's not been the case. I've worked with, close to 20, probably more than 20 different businesses now over the last few years. And every single business had a different area that they needed to improve. I go into these businesses and I look at their marketing, I look at their copy, and every single one of them has different areas where they're weak at. And what works in one business might not have any results, might have negative results if you try to apply the same tactic in a different business. So the concept of taking what I know would work for one business or for businesses in general and putting it into a course and selling it doesn't have the same impact, doesn't have the same effect, doesn't garner the same results as actually going in and working with a business owner one-on-one or working with a marketing department one-on-one. So for me, if you're going to pay me money, I would prefer it not be in the form of a course, because what I do, again, the reason why I don't like public education is because I don't like the one size fits all. Well, every kid has to learn this way, and if they learn differently, it just doesn't matter because this is the way we teach. I'm more of a fan of private mentorship and tutoring, where a teacher sits down with you and says, look, let me figure out how you learn. Let me figure out your specific needs, and then we'll go forward from there. That's absent in the public education system. It's also absent in a lot of the courses out there, these copywriting courses or these marketing courses or these business courses, how to make $1 million a day on Etsy, or how to do your Amazon, how to run your Amazon store and make a bunch of money. The thing about it is the people that are selling these programs, they make more money selling the programs, the courses, than they actually do on Etsy, than they actually do on Amazon. So, and again, what works for them with that particular product, who's to say it's going to work for you and your particular product? Who's to say it's going to work for you and your particular market or your particular platform? I'm not a big fan of the one-size-fits-all business solution. I can speak for what works for me. I can speak for what has worked for my clients, but is that going to work for you without any custom tailorization? Probably not. And so just always keep that in mind as I'm giving these, as you're listening to these podcasts, as I'm doing my little rants, keep in mind, it might not apply across the board. Again, there's no such thing as a one size fits all strategy. There's no such thing as a silver bullet that'll solve the problems of every single business owner out there. And when somebody markets their course or markets their plugin or markets their BizOp as that, they're lying to you. And again, it's a lie that you want to hear. It's a lie that you're already telling yourself. And so really, they're just confirming the lie that you already believe. But it's still a lie nonetheless, and it's not a lie that I feel comfortable getting behind. So, but actually, you know what? Here's a good example of it. Headlines. I'm a copywriter. I write, I've read so many different books that all say this one thing. One thing that almost every copywriter agrees with or preaches from the pulpit is that your headline in an advertisement is the advertisement for your advertisement. The headline is the ad for your ad. The headline is 80% of the effectiveness of your ad. 8 out of 10 people only read the headline. And so if you can't get their attention, if you can't make a promise, if you can't be ultra specific in why they should continue reading and who should continue reading, if you don't have a compelling headline, you don't even have an ad, because your ad just won't work if you don't have a great headline to hook people in and get them reading. You got to have a headline. It's the most important part of your advertisement. Yet, the two most successful ads, direct response letters in history, have no headline. The Gary Halpert coat of arms letter was started out simply, "Dear Miss Whatever, Dear Mr. Whatever, we have found this coat of arms for your family, and we wanted to let you know about it and see if you wanted to purchase it." The Wall Street Journal, The Tale of Two Men, that both started off at the same point in life. One ended up being a CEO. One ended up working in the mailroom. And the only difference between the two of them was that one of them read the Wall Street Journal every day. Both of those letters, just one of them started out "Dear Reader," and one of them started out "Dear Mr. or Dear Mrs. Whatever, so-and-so." Neither one of them had a headline, yet those two are widely regarded as the most successful direct response letters in history. So they blatantly broke the rule, the one-size-fits-all rule of your headline has to be compelling. Your headline is the most important part of your sales copy. The fact of the matter is, there is no one-size-fits-all for copywriting. There is no one-size-fits-all for your business. There is no one-size-fits-all solution for society's problems. And the idea of a magic bullet, a quick fix solution, is oftentimes more detrimental than it is helpful. My name's Nathan Fraser. I'm out of here. Be your own boss. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Hey, I've got a real quick question for you. Are your advertising efforts not getting the response you expected? Would you like them to perform better? If so, I've got something that'll help you out. Before you spend another dime on advertising, head on over to my website and download your free copywriting consumer awareness guide. In it, you'll discover 4 red flags that can help you avoid hiring a bad copywriter, 9 foundational elements that every good sales message should include, 3 questions you must ask before you spend a penny on sales copy, 4 secret editing tricks that'll drive people to keep reading your ads, and a whole lot more. Want to get the most out of your advertising budget? Head on over to freemarketsquad.com/copyguide and claim your free copywriting consumers awareness guide today.